everybody. Welcome to another episode of Magic the Amateuring, live from PAX, which hasn't even started yet. So we are on the ball, Megan.
Yeah, I was going to say that we're on like the cusp.
Yeah, we are
of PAX.
Also on your hotel room bed.
That is true. We are sitting on it.
And it's quite comfy. Good job.
Thank you. Well, you know, I didn't arrange those pillows weirdly like bricks like that. That was the hotel staff.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So I can't take credit for any of this.
Do you have really a more artistic way of arranging pillows?
No, I tend to make like as much of a kakuna out of them as I can.
Kakuna?
No, a cocoon.
Oh, okay, I thought I had been saying cocoon wrong my whole life.
Oh my gosh. Yes, you have. You have. It's a kakuna.
Kakuna
Matata. You're thinking of the Pokemon.
Oh, yes, I am. Hey, everybody, I want you to get a feel for how soft these pillows are. Are you ready? That's a soft pillow.
I feel really creepy about how you're inviting people into this hotel room.
I'm trying to give them
a
sense of place, Megan.
I sleep here, and I like to sleep in a space free of the impediment of other people's thoughts. Okay?
Okay, fine. Hey, well, we're here at PAX because we're going to be checking out the World Championship as well as PAX event itself, which is going to be chock full of Kaladesh stuff. Coming up this coming week, it's all going to be full of Championship / PAX / Kaladesh. So many cards are being previewed. You guys are going to just plots when you see them.
What a word.
I know. Thank you. It was on my word of the day calendar.
Was it?
Yes, I have a Yiddish word of the day calendar that I take with me on trips across the country.
You're really dedicated.
Thank you. Yeah.
Why did you choose Yiddish and not like Hebrew?
I
don't say anything that's going to be racist.
I was going to say it was a Christmas present, but that's also weird.
No, that's also weird.
Okay, never mind.
It's also weird.
Yeah. So Megan and I are, you know, road tired.
From
traveling.
I don't remember anything that we've talked about so far.
It's probably a good thing.
Except being vaguely creeped out.
But on today's episode of Magic the Amateuring, which, by the way, if you weren't aware, is a show about magic for people who are new to the game, people returning to the game, and anybody who likes to have a little chuckle for lunch.
I think I'm creeped out most of the time, though. So, like, how has it been any different in my life?
So true. So true, Megan.
It really is.
Yeah.
Do you guys know how often I check behind the shower curtain in my bathroom?
Every minute?
Every time I walk in there.
Yeah. Yeah, I get it.
Right?
I always look for somebody behind me in the mirror in the bathroom because that's where they always are.
Oh, God, I can't do that because then I think about, like, vampires.
Oh, you think it... Well, you're not going to see a vampire in a mirror?
That's my point.
Oh. So you think they're there.
Yeah, they might
be. You don't want to catch them.
But now in my bathroom, there's like very little space behind me.
Okay, that's good.
Which I like.
It would have to be a very thin murderer.
It would have to be a really, really skinny murderer.
This show is actually something of a throwback for us because we were recording it without video.
That's right.
Yeah, so online, if you see this on Tulare Community College, which I'm not sure what's going to happen, but if you do, that's why you're not seeing our faces. It's because we're recording in a hotel room and it's like very low tech and...
I'm wearing athletic pants, and I haven't even done athletics today.
I'm wearing a onesie. It is delightfully comfy and fuzzy inside.
Okay, you can't call it a onesie.
Well, it is.
No, it's pajamas.
But it's one piece.
But you have to say it's pajamas.
From head to toe.
But you have to say it's pajamas.
Because you're thinking of me in a baby outfit?
Well, no, because otherwise, that's a real thing. That you can wear during the daytime.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, this is what you would put a child in. But I'm wearing it, and it's glorious.
I feel like we're really oversharing.
Yeah, we are. So let's share what this show is going to be about.
Let's overshare that, shall we?
This show is going to be about GP Indianapolis, which happened this past weekend, which was a really cool tournament. Mm-hmm. We're going to check in about that. Mm-hmm. Megan played her first Conspiracy 2 draft.
That's right. So we're going to talk a little bit about Conspiracy 2 and multiplayer, my first foray into multiplayer.
Ooh, it was so exciting.
It really was.
And we have a special guest joining us on the show because we're at PAX. There's special guests left and right, and we've managed to rope one in the reaches of our long, spindly claws.
Only one, you ask? Yes, we're terrible at lassos.
Yeah.
They're really difficult.
Lasso's hard.
It really is. Did your school have a lasso team?
No, Megan. Okay.
Ours had like, okay, listen to this though. We had like the sports teams, right? And then there were the cheerleaders, but our cheerleaders weren't very good. And then there were also the lassos, which was like a team that did like lasso tricks.
I believe it. You grew up in Texas.
It's true.
That's so funny.
But the ropes are like extra stiff so that they can make those big loops.
Cheating.
It's easier. I don't know if it is though.
I
also went to the rodeo several times in my life.
Did you have dreams of being a rodeo clown?
No, never. The clowns have the worst job.
Yeah, they do.
They really do.
Danger. I'm trying to think if there was something at my school that was equivalent to a roping team. That has something like very northern. I mean, we were called the Lumberjacks, so what more do you want?
Yeah, that's pretty northern.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you have a logging team?
No.
Bummer.
No.
I really wish you had.
Conspiracy 2, Electric Boogaloo.
That's right. Or as it's, you know, as it's known amongst the rank and file, Take the Crown.
Yeah, that's the other name.
Because it's been in a little bit of, you know, turmoil in Fiora.
Yeah.
Which I've just been saying it like that. And honestly, I haven't checked back to see if it's actually spelled the way that I'm reading it in my head.
Is that the name of the plane where conspiracy is happening? Fiora?
I think so. F-I-O-R-A.
That sounds like Fiora to me. Or it could be a Disney princess. One of the two.
Oh, it could be a Disney princess.
Mm-hmm.
She'd be... Which one would she be? They've done a lot of them at this point.
Yeah.
What would kind of be her deal?
Fiora?
Yeah.
She's some kind of like... It's like a Rapunzel retake.
That's what I thought, but they already did Tangled.
Yeah, never mind. Wait, wasn't... Yeah, no.
I feel like it would be mostly... I feel like it would be mostly like Rapunzel, though.
Yeah.
Like, it just sounds like a Rapunzel-y name.
But that's a plane where conspiracy happens?
Yes, it is.
And you're
and
trying
where
to...
Brago was once king as a ghost,
yes.
But then Kaya came and ghost assassinated him.
Mm-hmm.
And now Marquesa.
Marquesa. Marquesa?
Marchesa.
She took the crown.
She's Marchesa. Marquesa. Point is, she's in charge now. She took the crown.
Yeah, and did
well,
you
she
see,
hired the assassin.
Did you see that super sweet alternate Marquesa. Kaya card art?
Oh, yeah. It looks
you can
sweet.
Get like an ultra
it's like,
rare.
It's like foil.
Yeah.
It's like foil alt art Kaya.
So cool. So we talked
Ghost
about
assassin.
Kaya on a previous show, and she's just BA.
She really is.
But Megan.
There's also Marquesa, Queen Marquesa
yes.
now.
So,
there's also Adriana, Captain of the Guard.
Oh, she's awesome too.
Who is so mad.
Yeah.
Who is so mad.
Because she
about
was
the whole situation.
Guarding Brago, right?
Yes. But now she's like bringing democracy to Fiora because she was like, do you know what? Brago wasn't as perfect as I thought he was. And Marquesa is like also terrible. So do you know what? I serve Fiora. I don't serve a person anymore.
Cool.
I know, right? She's real cool.
This was your first experience drafting multiplayer and
That's
playing
true.
Multiplayer ever.
That's true.
Because our commander games that we've played in the past were just one-on-one.
That is true.
I played past Conspiracy in kind of a different form. So,
mm-hmm.
But this is your first time. Megan, overall, multiplayer, how did it make you feel?
Okay. I would say that, first of all, our group was like not as political as lots of groups that I heard around us.
Yeah.
There was not, I never had to be like, you're being stupid. You shouldn't attack me right now. You should obviously attack that other person. Because people seem to generally be like, okay, I think I know, like, I should stop attacking you and start attacking the person with the most life and the most stuff right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, yeah.
But I was the first person to take out another player. I felt terrible. I felt terrible.
I didn't draw
first blood, but I, like, made the first kill.
Oof, rough.
Of the four-person, you know, like, the four-person, you know, commander or, like, conspiracy draft.
Because normal two-player, you just kill them and you're dead. Game's
exactly,
done.
Exactly, game's done. But I felt like I was excluding someone from gameplay. Like, I was telling them that they couldn't play anymore. I felt terrible about it.
I bet they did not feel as bad as you
No,
did.
He was very nice about it.
Yeah.
He was very nice, but I was just like, oh, we're going to keep playing, but I made it so that you can't play anymore. I did that to you. I'm terrible.
No, Megan, that's how conspiracy works.
I know. But you know what? The second and third ones weren't as bad. You really just don't feel
you
it
get
after
used
a while.
To it.
You really do.
It's like James
You're
Bond.
You're desensitized after a while.
Yep.
To the violence of killing off your multiplayer comrades.
And in the end, you start to like it. That's where they really get
I mean,
you.
Yeah, it's so true.
Murder. You know that flavor text? It's not work if you enjoy it.
That's true. Also, I drafted a murder. I got it something like fourth pick in the second pack.
What?
Or even like fifth. And I was like, what is wrong with everybody?
Okay, so politics aside and you having to kill the first person.
Oh, felt so bad.
How did you find, first of all, how did you do? Were you the monarch? Did you win?
I won. I won that mofo.
You won.
And I won it hard.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Okay. So tell me, how was the experience drafting it? Because this new conspiracy set has a lot of neat things built into it to allow you to affect the draft itself.
Yeah. One, I didn't play with that as much as other people did. Other people in my pod super played with it, like Animus of Predation. So that's 4 and a green for a 4/4. It's an uncommon. Draft Animus of Predation face up. As you draft a card, you may remove it from the draft face up. If you removed a creature card with flying from the draft with cards named Animus of Predation, Animus of Predation has flying. The same is true for First Strike, Double Strike, Death Touch, Haste, Hexproof, etc., etc., etc.
Yeah.
So like stuff like that, you know, people would draft it face up and then they would, you know, take out another card. And someone had an Animus of Predation that was like flying, First Strike, I don't know, something else, Haste.
Whoa.
Flying, First Strike, Haste, Animus of Predation. And I was just like, okay, that's real. That's a real deal.
Yeah. And were people looking at each other's picks with some of the cards that allowed you to do that as
that
well?
That also happened. Someone looked at a card that I drafted. It wasn't relevant, but, you know, they did it.
I part of me is like, I don't know how good those cards are.
I don't know. You know, I think if you catch it early and it's going to be a card that they're playing, it's good info to have. But at the same time, if it's like late in the draft, like this one
whatever.
Was, it's like whatever.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. It wasn't a card that I ended up playing.
What did you end up drafting?
I drafted 4 colors.
Sweet.
It was great.
Was that possible?
Yes. It was very possible. I had so much fixing. I tweeted a photo of it. But
okay.
I can tell you a little bit about my fixing that I had. And I did it on purpose because
up.
I was like, do you know what? Commander seems, or like not Commander, but you know, Conspiracy multiplayer format seems like it'll be a little bit slower, right? Like the other person isn't attacking just me. They're attacking, you know, it's kind of going to get shared around.
That's a good read on the format, I would say. Okay, I'm taking a look at your deck here.
Yeah. So some fixing that I had is I had 2 Evolving Wilds, 2 Sylvan Bounties, which have basic land cycling, an Absorb Vis, which also has basic land cycling, and a
Absorb Vis, mother.
Keep going. And a Borderland Explorer. So all of those helped fix my mana. It was real solid.
Wow.
It was fine.
Yeah, you've got some kill shots in here.
I had so much removal. I had a Diabolic Tutor, which felt so good.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
Capital Punishment, Gorgon. 2 of those.
Do you know what's a Banff? Keepsake Gorgon.
Like, this is like some of the old hits, like Farika's Mender.
Oh, yeah.
Opaline Unicorn.
It was so good.
Shambling Goblin.
Keepsake.
Child of Night.
Keepsake Gorgon was so good, Maria.
Oh, yeah. Always.
It was so good.
Always.
Okay. Also, fun story. I had this card called Capital Punishment.
Yeah. You have 2 of them.
I didn't realize how good it was. I was like, I don't know. 6 mana is a lot, you guys. Having 2 of it seems like a lot. But this is the card. This is the point at which I won the game, right?
Yeah.
Like when I cast this. Nobody,
what does it do?
Nobody knew it yet, but I had won the whole thing.
So you like secretly like...
There were still
like,
3 players in it.
I
there
know.
Were still... All 4 of us were still in it. And I cast this and I was like, you guys don't realize, but I won.
Read it.
Okay, Capital Punishment, 4 black, sorcery. Council's Dilemma. Starting with you, each player votes for death or taxes. Each opponent sacrifices a creature for each death vote and discards a card for each taxes vote. So basically, like, that notably is not, like, the old council's decision or something like that. Whatever.
Rule of the council.
Rule of the council was, will of the council, was where it was, like, you ended up with either one or the other. This one is, if 4 players are voting and you get, in our case, it was 2 death and 2 taxes, everybody discarded 2 cards and sacrificed 2 creatures.
Whoa.
And I cast it when everybody had about 3 cards in hand and about 2 creatures on the battlefield. I voted for taxes because I was like, I can manage the battlefield right now. Let's get those cards out of hand. It was disgusting.
Grody.
It was so gross.
So after this experience,
yeah,
where are you more on to multiplayer than you have been in the past?
You know, it was a lot of fun. And I think that I would mostly play it, like, I would do it specifically in a conspiracy draft, because I really enjoyed like, I, you know, we love drafting.
Yeah.
It's super sweet. It's a lot of fun. And especially I love anything where I can draft like four colors.
Yeah.
So I was like mostly green, black. And then I was splashing two kill shots, which seems a little silly, but honestly, my fixing was just so good. And it was so good to have so much removal handy.
Like, I'm like, how good is removal in multiplayer? I don't know.
Come at me, bros. Like, nobody can kill me right now.
Yeah.
And I had, so I had three colors by turn three in this deck. And then I was splashing red for Subterranean Tremors, which is a red mythic, which I diabolic tutored for, but then didn't have to cast for some sick beats. So it's X and red for a sorcery. Subterranean Tremors deals X damage to each creature without flying. If X is 4 or more, destroy all artifacts. If X is 8 or more, put an 8/8 red lizard creature token onto the battlefield.
Ah, yes, I remember this guy.
The market is now closed. This is flavor text.
Such good flavor text.
So good. And then I mean, mostly my deck was about being like sick value with reanimator stuff.
Yeah.
And four colors.
Cool.
Anyways, it was a lot of fun is my point.
Yeah, I'm excited. I think probably sometime this week a conspiracy draft will happen and I'll find myself inside of it, experiencing it, wearing the little tiara that I packed in my luggage for when I'm the monarch.
I did get to wear a crown. I was the monarch for a little bit.
Oh my gosh. Yeah,
at the end of, no one introduced it until kind of late in our game.
Did they, was it like the paper crown that comes with it?
It was like our the store where we played at Mead Hall had like plastic one. It was like, you know, like a full-on plastic crown
that's
situation.
So cute.
It was so great to look around the room too and see other pods and like one person wearing a crown.
Yes.
It was a lot of fun.
Speaking of Mead Hall, we should point out that they're going to be doing a charity event.
Yes, they are.
Coming up. So make sure you follow us on Twitter at MTK.
Not this week, but next week.
Yeah, next week. And Mead Hall Games.
Yes.
And the Meadery on Twitter because they do a charity event every year and we're going to be helping them out with that by doing some streaming for them and giving away an insanely expensive card.
You guys have no idea what it is. Whatever you're thinking, think better.
It's better than that. And it's all for charity. So
for secondhand hounds.
Secondhand hounds is for the pups. It's called the Pup-a-thon.
Yep.
There's a great playmat.
It's so cute.
With a bunch of dogs.
Yeah. On Ravnica.
So we'll be sending out more information about that in future episodes and on our Twitter and Facebook. So just follow those things and you can see what's going on. And you definitely want to get in on this. It's a raffle.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to do it. It's if there's even like one in a billion chance you enter this raffle.
Yep. Do it.
And we'll be streaming on what day is that?
Thursday the 8th of September.
We'll be doing a stream where we will announce
the
winner. Nope.
The 8th day of September.
It's not even close. Megan, I love Earth, Wind, and Fire.
And I don't know what your point is.
Okay. So I'm sure we'll
play
it.
That was a perfect Earth, Wind, and Fire edition.
And it'll be great.
Perfect.
We'll give you updates later. Cutest card for conspiracy. Megan, to celebrate your very first conspiracy draft, and because it's what we do on the show,
yes,
we're going to play cutest card, grossest card.
Okay. I'm ready. Are you ready?
I am ready. I've been ready for a while. Too ready that I we should have done this last episode.
Yeah, we should have.
For which I regret.
Yeah.
But we're here now, and my selection, I think, is infallible.
Okay. You always think that.
That's true. I know I had a lot of dissent. Not that I haven't announced it yet, but, like, I asked people what should be my cutest card. What do you think it is? And a lot of people guessed what I think is the obviously most pushed cutest card, and as you know, I can't be bought. Yeah. A lot of people
Unless
wanted
it's harmless offering.
Yeah, that's and I was so mad at being bought.
Yep.
A lot of people wanted and guessed my card was going to be Jeering Homunculus.
Yep.
And you are all wrong. You're all so wrong.
Also,
it is not
I
that.
Feel like that one is debatable. Like, I think Jeering Homunculus is gross.
Yeah, as some people guessed Cammy of the Crescent Moon.
That guy's kind of cute.
He's kind of cute.
He's just sitting there.
He's just sitting there by a moon.
Yeah.
And he's definitely a runner-up. pretty cute. But my cutest card was guessed by one person on Facebook and one person on Twitter. So two people got it right, which I was pretty good. I should say Brush Strider was almost the cutest card in another set.
Yes.
Do you remember that?
Yep.
So definitely a runner-up. The peacock here, what is it, crowned peacock or something like that?
Coveted peacock.
Coveted peacock. Runner-up as well, more of a beautiful card than a cute card.
Yeah, very true.
Wild Pear was in the running for a while.
Oh, they're so cute.
They're pretty cute.
They're very cute.
But they could not stand, they could not hold a candle to what ended up being the cutest card. Messenger Jays.
Messenger Jays?
No, it's not even Regal Behemoth, which is Megan's guess.
That was my guess.
Regal Behemoth, pretty cute. They're cute. They're flying. Oh. They've got little messages to
hand
out.
They do. They have little messages around their necks, like those dogs with alcohol in the barrel.
Maybe the message is buy more alcohol in barrels. You never
know.
Or
don't get stuck in the snow.
But they're so cute. Okay. I think it was probably going to be Wild Pear until I saw Messenger Jays, and I was like, oh my god,
yeah.
They're adorbs.
I feel like I disagree. I think Wild Pear is cuter.
You think Wild Pear is cuter?
I think it is.
No, I'm not going to fault you for that. I think it's a fine guess, too.
Yeah.
They do seem kind of happy. They're a happy Wild Pear.
They really are.
Oh,
look at them.
Jays.
They're just like going on a run, Taylor. They're like, yeah, this is fun. This is great.
I just like this little Jay's face. He's like, hey, it's message time.
It's true. He really is.
So, Megan, your job is less pleasant than mine in choosing the grossest card from Conspiracy 2.
This card actually is. I've shuddered every time we've looked at it now.
Yeah.
The grossest card of Conspiracy 2 is Deathwind. Okay, what gets me is that they still have, like, human legs. There's still, like, flesh on their legs.
Yeah.
Like, normal legs. And it's, like, the rest of their flesh has just been, like, blasted off them by the wind. Oh, boy. It is gross. It is gross.
So follow us on Twitter at MTAcast because our artist friend Steve will draw these as he always
not
does.
The grossest.
Not the grossest. I mean.
He'll draw, no one wants
nobody
that.
Nobody wants that.
No one needs more illustrations of the grossest card.
But Messenger Jays, I think it's going to be so cute.
It's
so I'm pretty
cute.
Excited. So yeah. There you have it. Cutest card, Messenger Jays. Grossest card, Deathwind. It is set in stone, so let it be written. So let it be cute. GP Indianapolis Fun Times.
That's right, everybody. There was a GP in Indianapolis last weekend, and it was in Indianapolis, and the decks were modern. The players were also modern.
Yep, because they weren't from the past.
Nope, they sure weren't. They were from the present. No ghosts were allowed at this particular GP. Sorry, ghost host.
I think Indianapolis is the hardest place to hold a Magic Grand Prix, just simply because if you type in Grand Prix Indianapolis, it's going to be a racing thing.
It's going to be race cars 100% of the time. Just race cars.
Oh, rough.
How many times have you typed in GP and then a city and then been like, gosh darn it, no, not race cars.
Yes, it's happened to me a number of times.
Yeah, but like not actually a lot. Maybe
a few.
Three.
A notable number.
Yeah, you don't forget when you accidentally Google race car news.
Because that's something you can never unsee, no matter how much you want to unsee
like,
it.
I don't want to know those things.
Get out of my brain! I need that space! Anyway, yeah, Grand Prix Indianapolis, modern was the format.
That's right. So many different kinds of decks.
Yeah, that's what's exciting. Eldrazi winter has ended.
I mean, but has it? There's still an Eldrazi chill in the air. So weather works.
Yeah. You can still smell that Eldrazi wafting in on the eastern breeze.
Everybody feels like baking cookies and staying inside because Eldrazi winter is not yet quite, you know, loosened its icy grip on the format.
Megan and I have asked a special guest and friend of the show to join us for this and a future segment of the show. Episode. What have you?
Episode.
Yep, that's what it's called.
We're recording an episode, but we're also recording a segment.
So true. We found Tim wandering the hallways of this hotel, Tim Willoughby, and we asked him to come and hang out with us, and he said yes. Why? We'll never know, but here he is.
Well, I told him that there was soup.
And
were
you lying
British
to him?
British people like soup.
There is no soup.
Sorry, buddy.
We tricked you. Tim, what's your favorite soup?
I like tomato and three bean.
That's not a soup.
Or if it's not a soup, then maybe pho. Pho is pretty good soup.
But tell me what kind of beans go into three bean soup.
And question, is it just like three sad little beans floating on the top of a tomato bath?
I assumed it was three types of beans.
Yeah, yeah. It's like kidney beans.
Okay.
And then like fava beans. And then...
That's not a type of bean.
You'd have it with Chianti.
You've never seen Silence of the Lambs, have you?
Oh, that's true.
Too scary.
Too spooky for me.
Yeah, too spooky. Way five, too Megan. Spooky.
Okay, keep going. Third bean.
Third bean. Why is
you
third
can't
bean?
Even name it because it doesn't exist.
I think it sounds really cute. Tomato and three beans. Yeah. Sounds adorable.
Let's call the whole thing off.
Well, thank you for coming and talking GP Indie with us, Tim.
Yeah. I mean, like, every modern event is kind of sweet because there's a million decks. And as it turns out, there is still an Eldrazi deck that's quite good.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Bant Eldrazi.
Yeah.
They have expanded. They no longer are simply colorless.
That's kind of sad for me because I feel like Eldrazi's real nature is colorless.
They are white. They are green.
But
sometimes.
This is stemming from me wanting to play that colorless Eldrazi deck in Standard when I thought it might happen, right. And then it just never happened, and I was very sad.
Well, it doesn't have Eldrazi Temple or Temple of Eugene.
Oh, yeah, no Temple of Eugene.
Both of those cards really make it tick.
But well, Eldrazi...
or Eugene's Sink. No, just Eugene in general.
Is there only one which in the top
was,
eight?
Which one was banned?
Temple of Eugene, right?
I of Eugene, yeah. There we go. I of Eugene.
Is there only one in the top eight?
Just the one in the top eight, but a whole bunch in the top 64 because there's like loads of deck lists
that's
on the website.
They published one through 64 this time around.
Oh, wow. Okay, cool.
Yeah, it is cool.
But it was not Eldrazi that took the day. No.
No.
It was Naya Byrne.
Naya Byrne.
Naya Byrne, piloted by Brandon Burton.
That's right. Brandon Burton awesome. Of Sandy Dog MTG. Fame.
Yeah. He was at a pro tour that I was at, and it was awesome to see him there. And they wrote a great article about him, actually. Yeah, yeah. Corbin wrote one. Yeah, if you Google probably his name and the word magic, you'll find the article.
But don't
That's
Google
how
his
Google
name.
Works.
Don't Google his name and the word race car. You'll get more race car news.
On this episode of Brid teaches you how to use Google. Oh my God.
Maria, I was looking for a nice recipe for tomato and three bean soup. How could I find one?
Well, Megan, do I have a hot tip for you? Get your fingers ready.
Okay.
And a keyboard.
Okay.
And then you're going to type in tomato, but you can type it in a British accent if you want, tomato and three bean soup, and then hit enter.
Do I need to write the word recipe?
Probably not.
I mean... She's going to test. All right, you guys keep talking about the decks that happen.
If you can't find it on regular Google, there's google.co.uk that has all of the English stuff.
That's true. So, Tim, looking at these deck lists, what stood out to you? Anything fun, anything spicy, much like your tomato and three bean?
I mean, the weird thing with Modern is that you don't tend to see brand new deck lists so often. You just see sort of variations on themes. There's some kind of cool stuff going on with old Thalia and new Thalia getting together to make everyone else's life really, really miserable.
They're pairing up as a super team?
Yeah, it's kind of the Hate Bears plan writ large that suddenly they go, right, okay, you can't cast spells, you can't really cast creatures, you can't get lands into play very fast.
Everything comes in tapped.
Yeah, it's miserable for at least one person playing, but pretty powerful.
Yeah, I played against Hate Bears once in Modern, and it made me very, very mad.
Can you imagine teaming up with your past self?
I dream about it every night.
Weird. All right.
Would you be the older or the younger one? If you were going to team up?
I would be the younger one.
Great question.
Yeah. I mean, I'd rather be the idiot in this situation than the leader.
I kind of want to go back as the older one. And just like, you know, those things like things I wish I told my 16-year-old self knew, you know? Yeah. I'd go back and be like, hey, Maria, get it together.
That's the difference between you and me.
Why?
Well, I just said I want to be the idiot in this situation.
And I want to be the one that's like,
yeah, you want to be the one that's in charge. I've got some tips. Well, you guys, I got the exact same result for tomato and three bean soup and tomato and three bean soup recipe, so.
Ah, nailed it. Maria's Googling tips saves another 5 seconds.
Ooh, they disagree with you, though, on the types of beans. These have kidney beans, garbanzo beans, and lentils. Also, do you feel about the addition of ham?
I mean, I think I can go either way on the ham.
like it doesn't affect the ranking of the soup.
I mean, it's number one, so yeah, I'm fine with it either way.
Okay, if I divided it into two, with ham, without ham, which one is one and which one is two?
No ham.
Is one?
Yeah.
Okay.
We're getting into like grilled cheese / croque monsieur territory here.
What is a croque monsieur? What is a croque monsieur besides a dead man?
Megan, why don't you use those new Google skills I just recently taught you?
You got it. You guys keep talking about deck lists.
How have you not mentioned Welsh rabbit in this mix so far?
Yeah, that's true.
It's just cheese on toast.
Wait, is it a croque monsieur or is it a croque monsieur or a croque madame?
Croque madame, something else.
All right.
Yeah,
you guys keep talking about deck lists.
So the other deck list that I kind of liked was the red green Through the Breach deck that actually made it all the way to the finals.
Oh, cool.
Through the Breach, we've seen it putting Emrakul and so on into play, but some of these lists just simply went, you know what, sometimes just putting in Primeval Titan's good enough if you're doing a Valakut kind of thing.
Yeah.
Some of these lists seem kind of sweet. You've got Through the Breach, Summoner's Pact. Some of them, yeah, they're just really aggressively trying to get stuff, get like a lot of lands into play, which is kind of neat and not something I've seen so much of in Modern so far.
So they don't have anything bigger than Primeval Titan?
Well, the one in the top eight that was being played by Rob Pisano, yeah, it was... I mean, it had Nahiri to potentially sneak things into play as well, but yeah, the biggest creature that was coming into play was Primeval Titan.
Seems like a shame.
There was another one in the top eight, though, piloted by Scott Lipp, that had one Emrakul, the Aeons Torn, as well.
So not new Emrakul, because who cares? We want to tear some Aeons.
Yeah, Modern's not all about the modern versions of the cards.
Yeah. Although Misnomer. It is still about modern players piloting them.
Yeah.
This is current Scott Lipp, for instance.
I don't know.
Past
I just
Scott
feel
Lipp
like if you're, even if you're making so much mana and you've got all these lands out thanks to Primeval Titan, part of me is just like sad that you're not making a creature that's like enormous. Like Primeval Titan's big enough, sure, to get the job done. It's true. But I'm like, think of the wasted opportunities.
Just get them real dead.
I guess I'm just too much of a Johnny sometimes, you know?
Yeah. You just want to get
Jimmy?
Too weird with it.
Who's the weird one?
Yeah, all of them.
I mean, I kind of love the fact that in Modern for a while, when Nahiri was putting loads of Emrakuls into play, suddenly everyone was like, ooh, is now the time to run bribery? And people were just running bribery just to take the one Emrakul out of other people's decks.
Ooh, nice.
Okay, a croque monsieur is basically just a grilled cheese, but with ham.
Yeah.
What is okay? Listen to this. The croque monsieur is a baked or fried boiled ham and cheese sandwich. What is a fried boiled sandwich?
Where you let the grease boil while you're frying it?
Right. I don't know.
Well, continuing.
Because to me, boiling is you dunk it in water.
That makes me think that you put the whole sandwich in a pot of boiling water. Affinity was also in the top eight.
Affinity, it won't. I mean,
that's
it's
right.
There
perennial
forever.
Aggressive favorite, Affinity. We also saw yet another Death's Shadow aggro.
Oh yeah.
Which, man, I have to say, I played against it online a couple of days ago, and I was just dead so fast.
Yeah, it can get you out of almost nowhere.
It kills you so quickly.
Megan,
and it's like you don't know what to do because either you attack it and make its life total lower, and then it's like, well, I've got these Death Shadows, they're huge now, or you don't, and then how are you meant
to
win?
Like, how are you going to win the game ever?
Exactly.
And also, sometimes it's just like, you're at 20, and the next thing, like, literally in one turn, they're like, all right, 20 you. Okay, great. This was really informative.
Megan, how are you feeling ahead, far ahead, but, like, the Team Modern Sealed event?
Yes.
Team Modern Sealed, oh my gosh.
Team Modern
event that's happening.
Yes.
What kind of deck are you thinking you might take to that?
Do you know what? I just keep thinking of it in terms of what deck I think you're going to play and then what deck I think that like our potential third teammate might play.
Sure.
And then trying to figure out like, okay, where could I maneuver in the middle of that?
Yeah. Great point.
Because I figure like you want to play Boggles.
I always play, I love Boggles, near and dear to my heart. I mean, yeah. I would also play Tron because I did like Tron.
And the nice thing about those two decks is that there's a lot of ways to configure them where it's not going to encroach, you know, too much on other strategies.
Yeah.
That you're going to take some pretty unique cards that other decks aren't like, Drat, I wanted that Glade Cover Scout. Boy, do I love 1/1s for one.
Nobody wants the Glade Cover Scouts.
Get out of here, Glade Cover Scout.
Tim, how does it make you feel that all of my Boggles in my modern Boggles deck are foil?
I mean, people can't see them. They got hexproof. Why do they need to be shiny?
That's true. Your opponent's just sitting over there being like, what?
I think Boggles might be quite good in Team Modern, though, because, like, the whole thing with when you're splitting a card pool is that you've only got, like, the really good sideboard cards. They're, like, one of the hardest things to split.
Yeah,
and
that's
when
true.
People can't sideboard against you so well, suddenly
these
really
point.
Niche decks become like super, super good.
Not everybody wants all the spell skite or gets all the spell skites that they want.
If I lived in a world where I wasn't where I was assured that like not every opponent I played against would have a spell skite, I would play so much Boggles.
Yeah. Well, Team there's up. Like other ones.
It'd be fine.
That's true. Yeah. That's true.
And then I figured like maybe like another person like Boggles, Tron, Affinity. There's not like a ton of overlap between things like that.
Yeah.
And then you've also, you could still, you know, like make wiggle room for like one of the more mid-rangey decks. So.
All right. What deck would you play, Tim?
I would probably play, like my pet deck in Modern has been pretty much since the start of Modern, Allies. And
Allies, whew, there's not one you ever hear.
Like, the funny thing is, I've actually had quite a lot of success with it. Like, it's definitely a niche deck, but, like, when Eldrazi was the best deck, I had a build of Allies that was super flavorful in as much as it crushed the Eldrazi. It was so-so against everything else, but really good against Eldrazi. And the version I got now, which is kind of a Return from the Ranks deck is great against almost everything apart from Jund. So in a team GP where Jund is really hard because it takes loads of stuff from loads of decks, yeah, I think I'd play Allies.
All right. Interesting.
So if it was us three, then you'd basically be able to play almost anything, Megan, because Maria and I would only take weird cards.
In that case, I'd go with something like I like kind of like the new take on the Scapeshift decks, which are the red, green, through the breach. Or like old school Scape Shift.
All right, it's settled. Tim, you're our third teammate.
Throw me all the blue if you guys don't want the blue.
Let's go.
You can have it.
I want blue.
What song was
Rained
that?
Rained ups on roses and blue cards in my deck. Blue cards in my deck and blue cards in my deck. Blue cards in my deck. Deck and blue
everybody,
cards and my
I hope
deck.
You're appreciating these that you're witnessing a breakdown in real time.
Thank the Lord, there's no video.
I need to take a picture.
Oh my God. This episode is the craziest thing we've ever recorded. We've been so incoherent for most of it.
I know. This is just a real crap.
This is a
real
episode.
I just assumed that there's always loads of editing anyway.
I mean, I think we do have some real content in here.
Do we?
I talked about conspiracy.
Okay.
Yeah.
We talked about decks and Modern.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Okay, I'll buy it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have to figure that in three person in Team Modern also, like someone's gonna be playing them burn probably in some form or another.
Yeah.
Someone's just gonna burn everybody to deck.
Like the overlap thing's real weird. Like it's basically fetch lands, sideboard cards, and like the sideboard cards end up being more important because those are like you just play Affinity, and not everyone gets to have Stony Silence because they can't.
Yeah,
it's like, oh, right, I guess I just win then.
Yeah. You get a Stony Silence, and you get a Stony Silence, but you don't get a Stony Silence. We've exceeded our four copies, so sorry, buddy.
It'd be pretty funny if you just went, right, we're going to have 3 unbelievably fast decks just so that we can play 12 minutes of Magic every round between us and then just go and have a little sit.
Be like, that would be nice. We're all good.
Or, like, if you knew the other two players on your team had insanely fast decks, you could just be like, I'm going to pick a slow deck that I can have a bit of fun with.
I'll play Lantern Control and I'll play more Magic than everybody combined and the like, table.
Some of the time it won't even matter because yep. You two will have just won and I can just be like, yeah, I've won again with Lantern Control.
All right. Good job, me.
That's another one without much overlap. And again, if there's less Stony Silences, then wow, that deck gets filthy.
Lantern yep. Playing against that will just nightmarish. Almost.
I do enjoy playing that deck quite a lot.
You did not make that sound when we talked about Lantern. Oh, God.
What a dream.
If I'm you from the future, I'm coming back to tell past you.
Lantern of Insight.
That you shouldn't play.
And Codex Lantern. Shredders. Ensnaring Bridges.
I'm now just imagining you submitting deck lists that are just in like score
in, form. In like lyrics, in lyrics to these are a few of my favorite things.
Yeah, yep. Pretty much.
Yeah, I would do it. I would do it.
I love, like, that's one of the funny things that I miss from doing text coverage on GPs and, like, events, of the one or two people that would submit a deck list, like, back before they had the official forms they forced you to use, they'd submit them in, like, the weirdest formats. Like, one person did submit just a photo of their deck list. like, a photo of their deck.
Here you go!
Their DCI number in the corner. They're like, is this okay? I'm like, well, we can see all the cards, so it's... And it's just better. Like, it's so much easier to tell what the deck is. You're just like, yeah. Oh, yeah, it's this.
Somebody wheels in a chalkboard and they're just like, all right, here's what I drew up. Take a look. Here's my PowerPoint of my deck list.
PowerPoint.
As you can see, my sideboard is transformational. And this is a dancing cat gif in here as well.
Excuse me, you seem to have a deck registration error. We can't find the dancing cat in your cards.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You seem to be missing a dancing cat card, which you registered.
I'm going
to
teach you about Google right now.
Oh, okay. What should I search? Like, what should I type in? There's
type
this bar.
Type in dancing cat GIF.
Okay.
Is that spelled GIF?
That's spelled G-I-F. Megan.
Okay, hold on. I have to go back and correct it. Dancing at GIF.
That's not going to be what you need.
All right.
And there you'll find.
Should I go to images? Videos? Videos?
Does Google still have the I feel lucky button?
Does it? Let's go.
I actually think they got rid of it.
Google.
Did they?
Nope. No, it's still here.
It's still there? Okay, maybe you just hit that.
What should I do? So, wait, what should I put in? Croak cat gif.
I don't know what that's going to be.
I feel lucky.
Croak cat.
Wait, where'd the I feel lucky button go? I'm just going to hit it. I'm feeling lucky. Oh, it's switched to I'm feeling trendy. Oh, Gene Wilder is trending.
Why, is he dead?
Yeah, you didn't know that? Holy crap, you guys. You just witnessed the moment where Maria found out that Gene Wilder died today.
Oh, my God.
I'm really sorry.
That's so sad. Oh.
Well.
I think I need some of that tomato and three bean soup.
I don't know what to tell you, buddy.
Let's talk about our favorite Gene Wilder moments.
I think that he was probably like, you know, like when you have like my first celebrity crush was probably Gene Wilder.
Aw, that's cute. Good choice.
When I was in high school, we had a neighbor who looked just like him. It was super weird.
He was such a weirdo, and that's what I loved about him.
He's such a delightful weirdo.
Yeah.
It's so true.
Like, and he would play his roles, and he would infuse them with such, like, weirdo-dom that I was just like, yeah, man,
I think my favorite is probably Young Frankenstein.
Yeah.
It's just so great.
Charlie and Chocolate Factory is mine.
That's true. Wait, no, was he, That one was Charlie and the Chocolate Factory or Willy Wonka and the Chocolate
Willy,
Factory?
That was Willy,
Willy
Wonka.
That was Willy Wonka. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. It was real great.
Yeah.
See no evil, hear no evil. with Richard Pryor. It's so silly, but so much fun.
Oh, I also remember watching Stir Crazy as a kid, which was great.
Anyway, this episode really took a turn.
This episode brought to you by Massive Buzzkills.
Wow.
Thanks, 2016. You've done it again.
Oh, yeah. 2016. What a year. Flavortext Theater presents The Dating Game.
That's right. We're going to bring you, you know, just a couple of bachelors and bachelorettes from Spooky Moon.
Looking for love.
Mm-hmm. So let's head on down there.
We cracked a pack of Eldritch Moon, and we are going to head down to the TV set where we are ready to play.
Dating Game. All right. Well, thank you both for being here. You know, this is kind of difficult for me. I've put up a lot of, you know, I feel like I've put a lot of armor between myself and the world. I have a pretty tough exterior, but I want to find love in spite of that. So bachelor number one, if you could please tell me, if you were to take me on a date, where would we go?
I'm a local business owner, so we would probably go to my local business. It might seem a little forward once you know what that is, but I think we'd have a great time.
Okay. Bachelor number two, same question.
Well, I'm kind of still working out in the fields. I'd be desperate to take you out somewhere. I've been looking around a lot for really great places to take anyone, and I'd be delirious if you'd come out with me.
All right. Well, thank you both. I guess we'll move on to the next question. One of my big hobbies is just going out and just finishing off monsters. I just love murdering a good monster sometimes. You know, I really feel like it's part of who I am. What's a hobby that you enjoy, bachelor number one?
Blood.
Okay, bachelor number two?
I don't really take a whole lot of enjoyment from much. In fact, I feel like there's something inside me trying to break out that right now I've not really been able to share with the world. But maybe when I die, people will find out what I'm all about.
Yeah, you know, I think we all feel that way a lot of the time. I think we all really, really feel that way a lot of the time. Okay, I guess we'll move on to our final question, which is that, you know, like, I really like helping people. I like helping people so much that sometimes I go to the graveyard and I find materials there that I can use to help other people. And so I'm wondering, you know, what is a place that's special to you? Bachelor number two, we'll start with you.
Well, I like to look out for somewhere nice to spend my time. And I spend most of my time kind of on the farm, dealing with even just like a little lamb, even if it looks like just sweet and nice, it could be pretty hard work and scary.
Okay, you know, I really appreciate your enthusiasm, but I think you're a little bit too desperate for me, and you have a lot of sentry duties that you probably need to attend to. So thank you, desperate sentry, but I'm good.
She nailed it.
I'm good. Bachelor number one, same question. A place that's special to you.
I love my local business. We are having some problems with getting shut down by the city due to the practice that most of the people who end up here, end up staying here, end up dead. That's not my problem. They check in and they don't check out.
So are you an innkeeper in Stencia?
I am!
Okay. Well, thank you both so much for coming on.
I don't know who you are, though.
Okay. Well, that's okay, because like I said, you know, like, I really have a tough exterior. Some would say that I'm, you know, I'm as cold as steel, as tough as iron.
Ironclad Slayer?
That is correct. That's awesome. Correct. Okay.
Okay. Welcome, bachelors. Thanks for hanging out with me. I just really am a kind of person who likes to have a lot of options when it comes to my dating life. I just want to look through everything, absolutely everything, and make sure that I make the best choice. So, bachelor number one, what's your favorite ice cream? If you were an ice cream flavor, what would you be and why?
Well, you know, I think that I would probably, you know, I really only, you know, would eat ice cream in order to like make myself better. So I would eat ice cream and I'd be done with it. So why am I thinking about the flavor? I ate ice cream, I'm done with it, and I'm better for it.
Okay, bachelor number two, same question.
So it's always kind of really hot around me, so ice cream's great. But you know what? I like it when things get kind of crazy, so I'd want something kind of mixed up. I really revel in having lots of different stuff going on. I'd have Neapolitan. Three flavors, one ice cream.
Oh, yeah. I like that in a gentleman. A risky, risky business. Okay, second question. I'm taking you on a date and we're going to meet my parents. What do you wear to impress them? Bachelor number one.
I would wear what I always wear, which is my armor. We'd ride what I always ride, which is my zombie horse. Like, I wouldn't let that meeting with your parents drag on.
Oh, okay. It's fine. Bachelor number two, what would you wear to impress my mom and dad?
Well, I'm pretty comfortable in my own skin. I would wear nothing at all.
Neapolitan nudist. Okay. Final question. So I really like to have options, as I mentioned before. And the more options I've already had in my life equals the more options that I'm going to have now. That's how it works. So let me ask you this. What's your favorite sitcom? Bachelor number two.
Well, I guess I kind of like Seinfeld. Because, you know, it feels like a bit of a do-nothing. Where, you know, there's no real plot to it. But actually, they've all got their own kind of prowess. There's a lot of draw there for anyone that's looking for some really top-notch comedy.
Bachelor number one.
Okay, well, I would say, first of all, I don't like most sitcoms because I feel like they really do drag on. Like, they just go on forever.
Okay.
And
drag under, you're out. You're right out.
No, that's not me.
What? Dang it.
But, you know, like, I do, you know, like, I have been fighting all of these battles because, you know, like, she told me to. And if I had to think, like, I guess I would probably try and find something that, like, reminded me of, like, why I'm always fighting and why I'm always wearing all this armor and fighting on my zombie horse. Oh, and, like, you know, sometimes I see her and she helps me soar, really. She really just helps me fly above the rest of it.
Olivia's Dragoon.
That's me.
Get out. I don't choose you. I don't know who the naked Neapolitan is.
He just loves to get crazy.
What is it? Bedlam?
Bedlam Rebler.
Makes so much sense.
And are you Scour the Laboratory?
It's really close. I'm not Scour the Laboratory, but I'm a similar sort of thing.
Oh, my.
Where when I've gone through what I already have and put it aside, and then I decide to go through what I have again, because of me going through it one time already, I will have more the second time.
Take inventory?
Yes!
There you go.
There it is! Well, I think Take Inventory and Bedlam Reveler are going to have a great time.
Great time.
All right, so yeah, Bedlam Reveler are rare in that pack, and it'll be going to the person that we've selected from among our patrons from patreon.com/mtacast. They're going to get all of these cards that we've opened on all of the flavor text theaters throughout the entire month.
As well as some unopened packs.
Unopened packs, too, and we randomly selected one of our patrons to win, and that patron is, drumroll please, Colin Chapman from Londonderry, New Hampshire. Congratulations to you. Thank you so much for your support. And thank everybody for your support as well on Patreon. You are the less than 1%, which is our new little way to classify you guys, which I think is awesome. And just a testament to how awesome you are. So if you want to get down on this drawing, we'll do one a month, including all of our super sweet rares and unopened packs. Just sign up today. Patreon.com/MTACast. A little as a dollar an episode will do it. And it means a whole lot to us as well.
That's right. This week, we are also bringing you so much sweet insider info from PAX, where you can find out more about Kaladesh. You can find out more about the world championships that are going on here. So follow us at MTACast or find us on Facebook at facebook.com/MTACast.
Yeah, we're going to be doing so much this week, you guys. It's going to be insane. It's going to be like you're here with us. I got to say thank you to Watsy for the badge to get into PAX. So to experience all of this, we're going to be creating so much media. It's going to be coming out your ears and going, you know, wherever you put your excess fluids, wherever that may be.
Okay, in my mind, it was like out your ears. Nope. No, keep moving. All right.
I just want to say thanks to Tim Willoughby for being our guest. We can see you at the World Championship this weekend, correct?
Oh, I'll be there.
Okay, excellent. We'll all be there. Hooray!
And tune in next week for potentially a more insane show than this one. As we'll be a week of PAX behind us, completely sleep deprived.
I think we're probably going to be even... This was a really crazy episode.
That's true. This was strange even for us.
So true. Next time, even stranger. I don't know if that's an endorsement or a warning.
Your pick.
Your pick.